Well, good morning, everyone. Can you hear me okay? Can you wave at me if you can hear me? Hallelujah. Well, it's so wonderful. Sister Thea, thank you so much for leading us so wonderfully this morning. As I was watching that tribute just now to our mothers, I just felt the Lord put something in my heart. And I believe prophetically for all our sisters here this morning. And I just felt the Lord was saying that he's going to give you another generation of daughters. And in that, my encouragement would be, may our ladies be mothers to the next generation that is coming. And they're going to need you. They're going to need a lot of loving. God is going to give young ladies, as well as young men, of course, but I'm being specific this morning, from the world who are seeking Jesus, and they're going to need care and love. So I blessed all of you ladies this morning that God has got a special purpose even in that to reach the next generation that he's calling to himself in Jesus' name. Well, thank you again for so much for inviting me to be here today and the family. We love you. And we've loved being with you. And even though it's been almost a year, it was Pentecost Sunday, I was able to share with you, even though it was a video, but my heart was with you on the day. And then, of course, before that, we had such a wonderful time together when we were able to come up to Rye Lane. And God did such a special thing when we were together. And it's really kind of imprinted on our hearts. And we love you and we are jealous for you. And we know that God has got special plans for Rye Lane and for Peckham and for Southwark. And we're excited to see what God will do. So let's move on to our text for today. And Ian is going to put it up, I believe. And we're reading from Matthew chapter 20, verses 29 to 33. And it says this. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. As Jesus and the disciples left the town of Jericho, a large crowd followed behind. Two blind men were sitting beside the road, and when they heard that Jesus was coming that way, they began shouting, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." "Be quiet," the crowd yelled at them, but they only shouted louder, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." When Jesus heard them, he stopped and called, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord," they said, "we want to see." And Jesus felt sorry for them and touched their eyes, and instantly they could see. Then they followed him. Amen. Thank you, Ian. Now, commentators believe, actually, and I think we could see it, I've lost you for a second. Okay, I'm back. Commentators believe that this story is paralleled in both Mark chapter 10 and Luke chapter 18. And they name this one of these characters as Bartimaeus. And we know, I'm sure all of us, the story of the person we've come to know as blind Bartimaeus. And a bit later on, we're going to dip into those accounts because it's very important that we see the whole picture. And I just want to give a little bit of background for us as well this morning. So we see in this period, Jesus is about to leave Jericho on his final journey to Jerusalem. And he's almost at the end of his teaching ministry to the general public before he goes back for his final week or so before he's crucified. So he's with his disciples, but the Bible also says that there's this big, massive crowd with him. And for those of you who like to dig in a little bit deeper to the word, it looks like Luke is contradictory, where you know one of them says he's leaving Jericho and the other says he's just coming into Jericho. But actually, historically speaking, Jericho had an old city and a new city, like many of the cities we have today, especially in Italy, for example, is a great example. Jesus was leaving one part of the city and going to another one. So there's no contradiction in scripture there. Now, that's not essential to the story, but that's a good way, you know, good information to argue with if over a cup of coffee with someone who was to pick it to pieces. I'm just going to leave that there. However, what is important are these blind beggars, one of them being Bartimaeus. It's important because in that period of history, you can imagine being blind or disabled in any way was completely devastating. There was no health system. And even though there's Levitical law commanding that the needy be taken care of, in reality, it was a very different picture. In fact, some thought that these people were cursed by God because of sin, either by them or by their parents. And in fact, Jesus had a conversation along those lines in a different part of the Gospels. But these were people who were cut off by society. They were shunned. They were marginalized. People with disabilities were often called unclean, which was not just an expression of insult, but actually they weren't allowed to go into the synagogue if they had leprosy or other diseases. They weren't allowed anywhere near the temple. They were not allowed to be touched. And so as a consequence, they were, if you like, they were cut off from God in that society. But anyway, they weren't able to get any work. So they had to beg. They had to beg on the best spots on the roads, on the busiest roads, just to get money from passers-by, just to survive day to day. And here we have the situation where Jesus is passing by. And those blind men can hear that Jesus is coming with that massive crowd. Now, Luke tells us that Bartimaeus was told that Jesus was coming by. And on the discovery of that it was Jesus, Bartimaeus and his companion throw caution to the wind. And in their desperation, they cry out to Jesus. And this is worth noting, that even right here from the beginning, even though they were physically blind, they clearly had some insight, spiritually speaking, into who Jesus was. Now, up until Jesus coming, there had been no recorded healings of blindness in the Old Testament. And so now, no doubt, these men saw their opportunity to cry out to God. This could have been their only chance to receive something from God. And they clearly recognized Jesus as the Messiah. And it's quite possible it was a revelation given by God the Father himself so that Jesus would be glorified. We don't know that. It doesn't say that in scripture. But even if it wasn't, they definitely would have heard of the miracles that Jesus had already done over the previous 3 years. Of course, we know that Jesus only did what the Father told him to do. And no doubt Jesus had been directed by God to be there at that time. We know that also from an account very close to this time in Jericho where Jesus encountered Zacchaeus. We know that God put him in the right place at the right time under that tree to call out to Zacchaeus, "Zacchaeus, come down because I'm coming to your house today." Because the Father told him, "You will be in Zacchaeus's house." So we know that Jesus, as he said himself, was only ever directed by the Father. And so in verse 30, we have this incredible cry, this statement that Bartimaeus and his friend cry out to God. And it's worth stopping for a moment and just looking at these words, because it's packed full of revelation, which is, you know, obviously very deep for Bartimaeus, but really relevant for us here this morning. And in verse 30, they cry out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." So let's break this down. The word Lord. Well, I looked it up, you know, in the Hebrew, and some of the words that come out are incredible, and I think it's really important for us to look at. One of the definitions of the word Lord also is master. It is also ruler. It is commander. And in that one word, these men were acknowledging the lordship and the rulership of Jesus over the world. And as well, secondly, declaring the lordship of Jesus and rulership over themselves just by saying this word. Plus, they were making that declaration public in front of the whole crowd. And they didn't care that it was, if it was politically correct or not. They didn't care what other people thought about them. They had, in quotes, seen enough. They knew that Jesus was the one. And I think that declaration is poignant for us as a church in a society, let's be honest, that has in general turned its back on Jesus. It's a moment for the church to declare publicly that Jesus is Lord and only Jesus is Lord. If you want to say amen, feel free to wave your hands and say amen. Let's declare it afresh today that Jesus is Lord of Peckham.
Amen.
Jesus is Lord of Southwark, and that Jesus is Lord amen. Of London and amen. Our
government,
amen. Our family,
amen.
The nation.
Amen.
Amen.
We declare it. Yes, Jesus, you are Lord.
Amen.
Then the second part of this statement, they said, Lord, Son of David. Now, Son of David is really, really important. And as an extension of that revelation that these men had, they knew that Jesus was the Messiah, the chosen one by God, chosen by God, was prophesied centuries before. And that expression, Son of David, comes from both the prophet Isaiah and the prophet Jeremiah, a descendant of King David who would come and save the world and rule with justice and righteousness, as is written in Isaiah chapter 9. Now, of course, a lot of the people of Israel took this meaning literally. They missed it completely. They thought it would be a physical meaning, whereby a man would come to overthrow the shackles of the Roman Empire that had enslaved them. But they didn't recognize that the prophets were speaking of spiritual miracles and of a heavenly kingdom. But these blind men did. We're going to look at two scriptures right now, speaking of the Messiah. The first one is from Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 to 4. And again, I'm reading from the NLT. It says this, out of the stump of David's family, or other versions say, out of the stump of Jesse's root, will grow a shoot. Yes, a new branch bearing fruit from the old root. And the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. He will delight in obeying the Lord. He will not judge by appearance, nor make a decision based on hearsay. He will give justice to the poor and make fair decisions for the exploited. Hallelujah. Then on in Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 5 and 6. For the time is coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up a righteous descendant from King David's line. He will be a king who rules with wisdom, and he will do what is just and right throughout the land. And this will be his name. The Lord is our righteousness. In Hebrew, it's beautiful. It's Jehovah Tzidkenu. The Lord is our righteousness. And in that day, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. Amen. Thank you, Ian. So this was the long-awaited Messiah, prophesied about 700 years before, and he'd come to set them free, to heal their blindness, not just physically, but also spiritually. So here's this declaration, Lord, Son of David. And then this really important cry, which is an important cry for all of us. Have mercy on us. In their recognition and acknowledgement of Jesus the Messiah, they humbled themselves before him. They knew only God could heal them of their blindness. And in their misery, or out of their misery, if you like, they cried out to Jesus for mercy. They could have cried out for anything to God. They could have cried out for money. They could have cried out for food, as they've done previously all their lives, no doubt. And that was a big crowd passing by. You know, what an opportunity that would have been for them to get some decent cash to tie them over for the next few months. But no, they recognized that Emmanuel had come. Emmanuel, God with us. The Lord is our righteousness. Jehovah Tzidkenu was about to pass by. The Son of David, the Savior, was right there before them. So what do they cry out for? They cry out for mercy from the only one who could give them mercy. And I sense, actually, when I read it, that faith was stirring in them. And I think it's why, when the crowd tried to shut them up, they cried out even more in desperation. But not only desperation, but in anticipation as well. They persevered in their cry, and they shouted out all the louder, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." And I think this is the vast difference between them and the crowd. Now, Mark says that, as I said before, that Jesus was with his disciples and a large crowd. And as Ian spoke about last week, I had a listen in, Ian, and I was so blessed with your message last week. Thank you so much. This crowd was a mixed bunch of people. You know, I imagine there were skeptics in there. There were seekers in there, observers, just onlookers, maybe even freeloaders. No, it was quite customary for these people to listen and walk along with the rabbi of the day just to hear what this man was saying. This was the custom of the time. And they're listening to this new teaching that they've never heard before. But I can imagine also there were a bunch of religious people in that group who were looking just to pick apart what Jesus was saying and eventually tried to tear him down. But I think there are a few keys that I want us to take away with us today. And the first key is this, and I'm speaking to us as a church here this morning. You know, there'll be those in the world, even those who are religious. And by that, I mean empty tradition, empty religion. Maybe even those who say they're Christians, who will try and deter you from pursuing Jesus, to try and deter you from persevering in faith, to receive your answer to prayer, to receive your miracle. And I just want to say to you this morning, don't let that happen. Be like those blind men. Persevere and let your faith be stirred all the more. You know, we know we've all had experience where we've prayed and we might not see the answer right away. But I can promise you this through the word of God, that God has already heard your cry. And God has already answered. And I just want to say, perhaps with prophetically this morning, Jesus is passing by, as it were. But I want to say this: Jesus, as we see in this text today, will always stop and hear the desperate cry in the noisy crowd. I just want you to take encouragement for that. Jesus is listening. Hallelujah. The second key is this. Notice that these men weren't afraid to ask for something specific, even something seemingly big. I mean, that's a big thing to ask for your eyesight back, to ask for mercy. And their faith was in Jesus, who had already healed others, and they would have been aware of that. They had had the evidence before them. They would have heard about the miracles already performed. But the second key I want us to take away today is that we also have evidence today. And I want to declare it again today, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. In Malachi chapter 3, he says, "I am the Lord, I do not change." This is our God. He is Jehovah Rapha. He is the one who heals. This is the God who answers prayer. He did it in the past, He is doing it today, and he will continue to do it until he comes again. Can you wave an amen at me if you believe that this morning? For those of you, for those of us who've petitioned God, the answer is on the way. Amen. Your answer is on the way. God has heard your cry. He is listening. He might be stretching our faith. He might say, well, you're not ready to receive it yet. We'll look at that in a moment. But the answer is on the way. And let me say it again. Verse 32, Jesus hears the men. He hears his father, I believe. And he stops them. And he calls the men over. And this is really important. Mark chapter 10, verse 50. So key number three. Verse 32, Jesus hears the men crying out, but I believe that Jesus heard his Father in heaven too. And he stops and he calls them over. And I think Mark chapter 10, in his account there in verse 50, is very important to us. It says that Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. This is significant in the story, I believe. It's a lesson for us. Bartimaeus, when called by Jesus, dropped everything that he had held on to from his past. The one thing he needed to keep him warm at night, in the cold days of winter, he just threw it down because he knew that Jesus was more than enough. More than anything he would ever need again. He left it all behind. And this is important for us here this morning. You know, asking Jesus for stuff can be easy. But you know what? It's a lot harder sometimes to let go of the things that block our blessing. Sometimes it's hard to obey the word of the Lord. But if we really think about it, there is no choice if we want to receive his blessing. And God doesn't simply bless us because only because he loves us. Yes, God loves us. He loves us all. But rather, he blesses us more when we are obedient to him. If he calls us to follow him, but we carry on walking our own path, how can we reap the rewards and the blessings? If God is over here and is saying to us this morning, I'm over here, follow me. Here is the blessing. Here is the fruit. Here is the power. But we're walking in our own direction. How could we possibly receive what God has for us? But God is gracious. God is gracious. He will wait for us to catch up to him. And so one of my questions for us today is, what are we hanging on to in our lives that is holding us back from fully serving God and following him? Could it be seemingly noble things like family and friends? Could it be we're holding on too much to the job, to money? Could there be a plan B in the background in our lives? Is there sin? And trust Jesus. Wonderful theologian by the name of Fillmore. And he's written a commentary series on many of the books of the Bible. And I've been reading about Mark's account. And in it, he tells a story to illustrate this throwing off the things of the past in order to trust Jesus completely. I just want to read it to you. It's a story. It says a Chinese pastor sent his son to America in 1920 so that he could receive a Western education. 7.5 years later, when John Sung took the long journey back across the Pacific Ocean to his father, his suitcase was full of diplomas and certificates, which would open many doors for him across China. But he had recently been filled with the Holy Spirit, and he'd become convinced that he needed to throw these certificates away as an expression of his faith that Jesus alone could use him to revive China. And I'm quoting him now. Man's works do not even come close to the works of the Holy Spirit, he concluded. If the Holy Spirit does not work, all the efforts of man will come to naught. John Sung threw his diplomas and certificates overboard and landed in China with nothing but his faith in God. He went on to become the most successful evangelist in China in the 1930s. By the time he died, it was estimated that 10% of China's Christian converts had been directly influenced by him. So here's a question for us today. Wow, what a story. Are we ready to throw off our cloaks and follow Jesus 100% no matter what? It's a question I'm asking myself. Are we ready to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit in order to fulfill the purpose of God in our lives? Are we ready to trust Jesus no matter what? And then we come to the question of today's sermon in verse 32. And it just seems an odd question to ask. You know, surely Jesus, who had allowed people to proclaim that he's Messiah, the son of David, knew that these men were blind. But yet he asked the question, what do you want me to do for you? Imagine the skeptics in the crowd. I was joking with my children this morning at breakfast. Imagine what they were thinking. Really? You know, these guys in front of you just called you out as the Messiah and you asked that question. But there is always purpose in Jesus' actions. Always. He only ever did what the Father told him to do, as we've said this morning. And I believe the Father wanted to do three things through Jesus. I think one of them is this. You know, he further activated the faith of the blind men. And he was about to reward their faith, not just with sight, physical sight, but also salvation. He answered the call. He was about to answer the call for mercy for their souls. And it's interesting to notice that almost always in the New Testament, miracles preceded salvation. And it was certainly, we see it so many times with Jesus, but certainly a mark of the Apostle Paul's ministry as well. These men could have asked for forgiveness, and Jesus would have done that. They could have asked Jesus for favor, and he would have done it. But they cried out for mercy, and Jesus chose to save them spiritually and physically. I think the second thing that God wanted to do through this situation was allow that public declaration of who he was, the Messiah, who'd been sent by his Father as he was about to go on that final journey to Jerusalem, and to allow that procession on the young donkey through the streets of Jerusalem to be killed by men, to be sacrificed as the Messiah, as the perfect Lamb of God, in order to fulfill all of the prophecy of Old Testament scripture. And I think the third thing he wanted to do was to allow the public to see the proof that indeed he was who the blind men said he was. Those men who were physically blind but had spiritual sight. He was about to demonstrate his power once again, the power of God, and heal their eyes in an instant, and also save their souls. How great that the men could see it all with their spiritual eyes first, before they could see with their physical eyes. And so my prayer for myself and for all of us this morning is, Lord, give us eyes to see you. Give us insight to see you more and more, that you are Messiah. You are the Son of David. That you are King of all kings. You are Alpha. You are Omega. You are Creator. May the Lord give us more revelation of who Jesus is, the mighty warrior, captain of the Lord of hosts, who is coming again. He's going to ride in on his white horse and snuff out his enemies. He is no weak man, but he is God of gods, our great Jesus. Verse 34, Jesus then shows the heart of God, which I think is a great example for us as his people, for the church. He shows compassion for them. He felt sorry for them. He had pity on them. And he touched them and declared for all to hear around. He said, okay, receive your sight. really important statement. Your faith has healed you. And they're instantly healed. So what is their response? Their response is to leave it all behind. And they follow Jesus. And by all accounts, they follow Jesus all the way into Jerusalem. And they're praising God along with all the people who had seen what had happened. Brothers and sisters, Jesus has opened our blind eyes. Glory to God. And we thank Jesus. The commentator Matthew Henry says, none follow Christ blindfolded. He, that is Jesus, first by his grace opens men's and women's eyes and so draws their hearts after him. So our charge this morning is let's follow Jesus wholeheartedly with eyes wide open. Do you feel you're in a dark place this morning where you feel blindfolded? Do you feel you're in a situation that seems dark today? I want to just declare it again afresh today that Jesus has already set you free from spiritual blindness. Any situation that we feel that we are in that is dark is a lie of the enemy. And we break that power. We break that curse in Jesus' name. May you walk out into the light of Jesus Christ this morning. And as Bartimaeus and his friends no longer needed someone else to guide them along their way, because now they could follow Jesus freely, I charge us to do the same. Let's not follow the ways of the world or even sometimes quick fixes to try and make it, to try and make it through life. No, rather let's follow Jesus out of the darkness and into his light. And I don't want to assume that everybody here knows Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I always want to take the opportunity. If you don't know Jesus, Jesus is the light of the world. Only Jesus can save you. Only Jesus can heal you. Don't hold on to your sin or the things that hold you back from him, but surrender to Jesus. Cry out to Jesus. Don't allow those voices of others or even your own voice to tell you to be quiet like the crowd did. The Bible makes us this promise in Romans chapter 10, verse 13. It says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is a promise. So I'm coming to a conclusion soon, and I want to pray for you. Where are you at this morning? Are you spiritually blind in some areas? Are there areas of your life you need to surrender to Jesus? Let him open up the eyes of your heart today. Are there areas of darkness in your life, brothers and sisters? Do you need to throw off the garment that's held you back? Do you need to completely trust Jesus and follow him? Do you need to make him master? As that word says, the word Lord, master, ruler of particular areas of your life. Is there sin? Are there things that you're struggling with? Maybe are there seemingly unanswered prayers in your life right now? Is God stretching your faith just a little bit more? Because don't forget, you know, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So I think the opposite, grammatically speaking at least, is true. With faith, we do please God. And God is looking for our faith. May faith be stirred in us today. Keep praying. Keep pursuing Jesus in faith. James chapter 5 says, confess your sins to each other. Pray for each other so you may be healed. But it says this also, the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. We have been made righteous by God through Jesus. If you know that this morning, wave your hands at me with an amen. We have been made righteous, and your earnest prayer has great power and it will produce wonderful results. Amen. And Jesus says in Mark 5, Jesus himself says, don't worry. Or don't be afraid. Only believe. Only believe. So Jesus is asking us today, what do you want me to do for you? I'd say do as the blind men did. Be specific in prayer. Don't be afraid of the big things. Jesus is way bigger than what we think is big. Believe in the Lord Jesus. God has heard and answered your prayer. Amen. I was just blessed this morning. I was listening to a song that says that Jesus paid it all. There's nothing we can do in our own strength, but by his blood, by his death on the cross, by his resurrection, Jesus paid for us. He paid for our sin. Our debt is wiped clean. I was in tears this morning just with that revelation once again. If you don't know Jesus yet as your Lord and Savior, or if you feel, Lord, I've drifted away from you, remember this truth. Jesus has paid your debt. Come to him this morning. Let's just pray, and we're going to hand it back in a moment. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. God, you are so good to us. You are so gracious. You are the light of the world. We thank you that you are the God of mercy. Thank you that your mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And Lord God, I come before you, and I don't know if there are people who don't know you as Lord and Savior in this room tonight, this morning, but at least there may be people in our families or even friends that we are crying out for.
And hallelujah.
The Spirit of truth would fall upon them by your Holy Spirit. I pray that you would shine your light on them. They would see Jesus as the light of the world. I pray that you would have mercy on them, and we cry out to you for their souls in the name of Jesus. For my brothers and sisters this morning, Lord God, if people are holding on to their garments, their cloaks of the past, I pray by faith in Jesus' name, they would throw it down and they would run after you wholeheartedly. Lord, if there are any of those who have, even like the preacher who had those certificates, things that seem noble and good, but are still holding them back, I pray they would throw those overboard and run after you wholeheartedly, putting their trust in you. And I pray for a gift of faith, Lord, for them, for all of us, in Jesus' mighty name. Father,
hallelujah.
Thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. You are so incredible. There is so much revelation in your word, and we need more and more of you. We ask right now, Jesus, for more of you in our lives, more of you in our church, more of you in Peckham, in London, in the UK. Jesus, we pray, come in your mercy, save our land.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen and amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.